just for a brief reading, at the end of chapter 6. And most of our reading will be in chapter 7 tonight. Verse 15 of chapter 6, of the kings of the earth, and the rich man, and the rich man, and the chief captains, and the making that man, and every bondman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, follow us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. When I look at verse 3 of chapter 7, this is the message saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have seen the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Then it's a different place mentioned in verse 9. After this I beheld and saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are the red and white robe? And whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of death the division, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them on any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That will be for you. We mentioned earlier in the meetings, and we keep repeating certain things just there to refresh our mind, that one of the features of the book of Revelation is that quite often you have seas on earth, then seas in heaven, then down to earth again, then up to heaven. And thus the book is composed of heavenly scenes and scenes down below. Now I suppose of all the sad scenes that will be witnessed on earth, it's that which is described for us at the end of chapter 6. Here we have people in a lean panic, terrified, really frightened, and we want to take a look at them. We might call it a meeting of distressed souls, a meeting of people in dread and fear of the wrath of God. When we turn from that and go into chapter 7, we have another meeting, not on earth, but before the throne of God. The number of it is so great that no man can count it. So it's certainly a big meeting. And we have people there, and they are carrying palms, and they are before the very throne of God. They're not terrified. They're not frightened. They're at home in the presence of God. And then comes the woman. How did you get that? Where did you come from? How can you stand in the presence of such a holy God? How is it that they're not asking if the mountains to follow them or anything like that? The answer is yes. These are they that have washed the robe and whitened them in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, someday before the throne and before God. I hope you see the assault a prayer we're giving you what we may call future evangelism. We're not trying to misinterpret the Bible. We want you to see principles that will pay now, that will also pay in the coming day. When all is said and done, should you have a million people in the room today, it would just be divided in the same way as these two companies are divided. Some who dread the presence of God, and some who are fitter to dwell with God. Now we just drop a bird for this sort of company here tonight. In the depths of your heart, so. Or in the depths of your heart. In the very secret of your being. With that confidence that the Almighty has given you by creation. Would you be happy in the presence of God? Or would you dread making God tell you? And that's a secret. Because whatever you may think, nothing of your carelessness will do away with reality. Nothing of your rejection will alter the situation. The fact that you smile at it, that you joke at it, that you screw around with it, that you play with it, whatever way you look at it, it won't change it one bit. Realities are stubborn when it's in the moment. They don't change from you, my brother. Therefore, we find ourselves face to face with it. But there are those who dread the wrath of God, and there are those who are ready to stand with their presence. You watch yourself tonight, am I ready for the presence of God? Now, taking a look at this a little further, one thing that strikes you right away is this. We have a list of people given us here who are terrified, and some of them are king, and some of them are great men. And captive. Men that never knew anything about Peter. You know, you'd never realize how an army general is what he sought if he was always sneaking away in fear. The greatest feature, I suppose, that any army general can have is that he has courage to face the foe. Here are men accustomed to face danger and accustomed to face responsibility and a great man. But that's not really the whole surprise of the story. We have bondmen. Slaves. In the same list of kings. And in the same list of these great captains and these great important people in the world. Some politically important. Some importance in royalty. And some important as to their military genius and so on. And alongside them, they're slaves. Creatures in the lowest rung of human society. But what I want you to notice is they're all in one level. The God, the terrifying God, that the wrath of God approaches, has got a leveling effect. You know right well, who we are. Not a common feature of humanity is to get rid of that, isn't it? The low star of society, and yeah, leave it higher. That higher, and the love they have. But some of us will never be able. We're not a bit concerned about it. And we gather going in as one man.
What happened? The burning? The foundering of the ship?
Brought them all down to the one last. Every man is greatly terrified and the water is great. Now let me use that illustration and put it alongside it.
Once it dawned upon men that the great day of his wrath was come, kings and slaves go to the same pit,
or the same hole in the rock,
and go to the same place, because they all
are dreading the wrath of coming, and dreading
the peace of the Lamb.
Oh, dear folks, tonight, you shouldn't have sat to do with me tonight.
What is it to do with me in a gospel meeting? Or what are you preaching about? I'm not living in those days. That time has not yet come in the world yet. The moon and the stars and the sky and the whole creation is not shuddering there as it perfectly will do then. The events are not so momentous as you are in the day. And why should I listen to that when the dark shall make it?
Good dear soul, I want to tell you that in a number of us here, we never been held.
No man saw that. But there was a time in our life when we dreaded
for 85 days of death for 72 days.
When these very people dread, we dread. You say, what was that? We dread meeting God in our sin.
And we dread going down to earn the hell for all eternity. I wonder how we have sinned in the meeting tonight, and you're so careless
that this has never really registered in your mind yet. You wonder why you're not saved. You wonder why you're not saying so happily. You wonder why you think things are not such a charm to you as they are to those of us that are born again. Reality fixes your soul. It's all a probability. You're never thinking of it into the eternal fire. You never thought of enjoying your strength. You never dread
an eternity of woe that will be the portion of the lost forever. If I could take you back now, I don't want to be troubled by myself. But for the night of the lost sleep. Now I've been sheltered a fair wee bit from the many evils of the world. I'm not trying to make her feel the need. Though I had feared God quite a bit before I was sick. But the night of God is many people in America, you should bow your head and mind what I ever was saved. And you should, but I'm thankful. The night I was saved, the blood of my flesh was finished. Oh God, save me from hell, and save me tonight. What happened? I've begun to see the danger that was ahead.
It had grown upon me. Really
well, I was most alone and with only a matter of time. And I couldn't put into words my mouth with my eyes. The awful despair that filled my breast, where a blanket seemed to come home to me. Not only am I not sick, but it's like I never did. And I was sorry I was at all. What am I to do? I wonder, are you one of those that has never been awakened again?
I wonder, are you one of those that has never been with a mouth half face reality?
We often say in the things. My goodness, it depends on a lot of things that we need to hear. But there are very few people that ever dreaded hell, ever landed.
And the most that are filling the pit of woe
are those who live without a thought of the tragedy that is ahead of them. Stop, dear soul, and think of that.
Then again, as you look at this, and you read it, immediately there's a thought begins to register as it wanders over. And that is this, here are men, and they're looking ahead. They go into the mountains, evidently selected here.
I suppose with atomic war, that's one of the things that will likely eventually be thought a good idea. These tongues are something to see if they are clear people on not. The devastating destruction that men might launch upon our public before the world. But you know right well that the world tonight is just capable of wiping its suffered as it were, with these dreadful modern weapons of destruction. We're not going to harass you in the world. But don't you agree with yourself as a test for danger. Man has been not only instrumental in doing plenty, but he has used his brain not much, so he has actually used it for the destruction of himself. He would follow what I'm reasoning. The farmer has remained ignorant of many of them that he now understands and possesses. But leave him off to the one side. A hiding place. Oh, dear soul. Looking for a shelter. Looking for a shelter.
A man, says the Bible, a man shall be in hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest, a shadow of great
and a weary love. My dear soul, here are sinners looking for shelter,
and they, the thing that terrifies them is this, that the Lamb and his wrath, they cannot bear. God's appearing in his mighty majesty,
and the cry of their hearts is this, the great day of his wrath has come. And who shall be able to stand? You know, dear soul, whatever you do, you have one day. We're sitting every day in the funeral. We spoke on those words. The solemn sentence after this, he will come down and remark to the men that were standing round the grave of the men of the presence. If any woman was cut down, was standing round the street, and the woman that was standing there is now returned to hell. I'm saying we'll save one out of the funeral. All we want you to think of is this, that God doesn't give his son promise to nothing.
And doesn't allow his servants to warn just for the sake of getting through the meeting. Listen to your soul tonight. You need a hiding place. You need a shelter. And you can't find it in mountains and you won't find it in rocks. You'll have to realize that nothing but the work of Christ, as we see in a moment, in the will of God, is enough to keep you red, as safe from judgment, and to make you fit to dwell with God on high.
You notice that when men are talking about the great day of his wrath has come, the writer makes us see that that's just a wee bit too soon. They're a wee bit early in the state. You see, man's so strangely constructed that he either puts a thing too far out or actually brings it too near. He can't keep his secret as much as they would want to answer so. And on this occasion, their watch is on the fast. And God says, now you won't prepare until I have seen. And then he goes on to speak of that 144,000 that he will see and mark up. And he says, whenever I have undone and have all that company gathered, then you can let go of the wind. And the storm came back upon the face of the earth. Now, dear soul, we're not going to brief by you in the big deep things. For this is a gospel meeting, but we do want you to do this. That before the storms of wrath breaks, God will have those seen and secure. We have those marked as he healed up the earth. We sing about the hymn of hanging, you may never song that we sing. Men on each other, his own secret side. They that have my spirit, these that he are mine. That means to say, we might have somebody in the meeting, you maybe have trouble with something like what I have. And you just wonder now, if you were to get saved, how would one respond? You would just look to think of how would come out. You see, if you'd have seen me the night I got saved, it's a sure boy, you wonder how would come out. No, I didn't think of it when I preached. I must say, I don't know, but I didn't think it was going to be one.
I never went to that. And if I had no choice, I never would.
But we don't always get what we want.
But what we do want to see is this.
God marks his own.
And nothing can destroy
the work he does in a precious soul. No secret of his friends.
Because when you're really saved, you're saved. And you're divine supper. And all the storms that make God, mind you, you never look out. Some of us will tell you story after story of the events in our lives that were very bad.
You see, when all around my soul gives way, sure this was all my own self. On Christ the Son of God, I stand. All of the burden is sin and what I tell you over your mind if I can at this moment is this, that when God saves you, you're secured for eternity. You're saved of his property and nothing can destroy that and nothing can end that. For I thought and prayed about for him to give me up, through me overboard, in spite of all the weaknesses that might be inherent in human beings. I feel it.
You see, I know the human heart very well. We make a special, I was going to call it a study, but that's maybe too strong a word, but I'll cover it. We make a special thought to human beings. Do we feel it? Maybe a young lad here in the meeting tonight, and he would wonder, could I ever do this? Would I make a Christian? My dear soul, don't be talking nonsense. We're not talking the reasons of anything.
But we do not get a faith that we that are you that saved and sheltered are secure. Your name is beyond the reach of judgment. And you're safe in Christ for their character by virtue of the blood. For nothing can destroy the life of sin with Christ in God.
You see, fear plays a big part in those people. Aren't they doing anything? I went into a home in County Down. I'm sure some of you have heard me tell it before. We were quite free in this village. So I couldn't just let you come in and speak to them, you know, just hardly know them at the door. Just said, come on in. So I wandered in among the people. I was standing beside a table, a young lady with her back to the table. She had been a beauty queen. I didn't know what she was at the time, but I found out she was a beauty queen and one of them another.
She started talking about getting saved. And she said, in the middle of the tears in her eyes, she said, I was scared sick
to become a Christian. I told her, I'm not saying that. You know what you meant, don't you?
I was scared sick.
What was she meaning? She knew everybody knew. And everybody was looking at her. And she was just wondering what way to be with her. If she was a cage of air, share a set. And I think you should. Fear is a big part. You will be saved. Well, the answer,
if you were as a poor sinner, fear what you ought to be. And there is a word they say about you. But what others you think about you.
Make sure that yourself shall hear and see it, and see, and learn. Divine, one whole by God himself. Part of divine proper. Now comes the sermon. See those same ones that are mentioned in the early part of the chapter. They're belong to us. Anybody knows when you're reading there, and it's 12,000 of each side. And you can go through them at times and think about it. And watch that there's one of the tribes not mentioned, which is through nearly all of us, but hardly any of the lists have a complete name. And so on. You can see all those problems in that early part, but we're not dealing with that tonight. What we want you to see now is another great moment. Not a wonderful thing. You see, you have a meeting on earth and they're all distressed and tragic. That's really the wrath. And here's a multitude. And they're not the privileged people to cross their church. And they have come from all sorts of nations, every nation, kindred and people. They're a variety of people. Some of them with one color of skin and some with another. And as the writer says here, they couldn't be numbered. And they're standing before the throne. Now listen to them. I before the throne and before the man. You see, the whole trouble in chapter 6 is we don't want to have anything to do with God or not.
And we dread the last.
Now in chapter 7, they're not only dreading the wrath of God, but they're away beyond that. They're actually before his eye through.
With all its purity and all its holiness, they're standing before his soul. And they're a fool with a laugh. He's a laugh. You need to tap on the voice of the shoulder to say, you can't help the child. And I'm going out of here. How do you stand before God? Oh, I'm quite content here. I'm quite content here. And why the cry out? Not for the health of all of us. Oh, that's not their cry. Listen to it. We should put your ear to it. What are they crying out? Salvation's of the Lord! Or salvation to our God. It's the same idea as I'm reading. Jonah chapter 2 and many of the Old Testament prophecies. What does that mean? See, who this means, it simply means this. We're here before the throne of God. And what's actually what we've been doing when we go to heaven? Saved to the Almighty. For God be the glory. Great things he has done. You see, it's God that has brought the king. That's why they're standing before the throne. And you see, when God puts a man, fits a man for his fitness, he can't complain about the fitness he's given him. Anymore. In a day of God, then there's nothing to bear. Even being, if it were a man, you could bear a question of course, but sure that, wasn't it? But he says, now come to God. Oh, they open the door to God. And you see the hands in their hand. And you say, oh, what does that mean? Well, I'm not crazy, isn't it? Come on now. They're not cowards. They're not cowards. I just finished speaking there a few seconds ago. And you notice I was stressing the dreadfulness of human fear and its consequences. Do you know people know nothing about fear? They're marching a little with their hands in their hands. Look, I'm going to tell you. You want to know who's courageous in this combat? Moses, you know. Not old people that say she's safe, you know, going about with her suit. She would be the most timid. Not man with a pale face and with a trembling lip. Is he a coward? He's not. If he's born again, he's no coward. You say, what? He has courage. Free courage. For every man and woman that saved that came a moment, when they could truthfully say they can take the world with a moment, but I have Christ. Cost what it will. I want a place in God's hand. You don't want to be a soul that could stand the minutes, but we're not wasting any precious moment. Same thing, you have to say, but we won't have to turn in your mind, you know, something, but quoting sample after sample of those who had every right to mistake a fear in their heaven. Many don't care, you know, have brought into the presence of the Father after he was saved. I'm told that he won't give that to me. I'll have to cheat. I'll have to do this so that I do not. Oh, Mr. Sir. Or shall the pastor buy and leave home? Because of us. And yet tell you these souls, when a man faces eternity, and gets us to grips with these great and vital matters of salvation, damnation, or heaven, or hope forever. I tell you, he gets past these neighbors, and he gets past these challenges, and he gets past the criticism of the word, and he gets past everything. Why, he has courage to flee from the wrath to come. And he has courage to face reality. No wonder that that pans in their hearts. I hope you've seen a one of yours as a prayer. I'm not saying I hope you've seen it in heaven, but I hope you sure don't want to go. Figuratively speaking, that will be marked with courage and say, yes, I don't know who will but me or who won't but me. Whether my husband will but me or my wife will but me or my father will but me or who will but me, but I want salvation. And I want it now. And I won't allow anything to hinder me turning to Christ. And you notice that they're praising God and they're blessing God. Then you never take courage. First, teacher. One of the elders He knew the answer before he asked the question. But that's the idea of that. You see, some people ask the question, and why do you think? In order to get the answer to a problem. And the question they ask is this. You look at it. What are these which are red and white robes? And whence came they? How did they ever get here? Where did they come from? How could ever a multitude stand before the throne and before the Lamb? How were they ever fit to do that? And you know, it was only us to bring out the answer. How I chose you have guilty before. Come on now, don't do it. Look to yourself. Everyone sees in this room the Lord he has. Now they mightn't have as many letters as you have. And they might never be their first day back. And they don't know anything more about the inside of the university than I know. No, they're not. And they don't know a lot. And they know things. And you would ask the simple, simple of them. And you ask the younger self. You find the X. How many people do you see in that? How many people do you see in that? And they know. I know. And the answer right away. These are they that have come out of the great tribulation. Well, that's referring to the tribulation. The tribulation of this one. Now listen to this. And they have washed their robes. And they have made them white.
You old people that used to have to wash, you don't wash now, you put them button to it. But the thing that people have to wash, look, you know there are some fame for putting out good clean wash. And you know the people were very good at that time, for mercy, you didn't want to live in the obscenity for it, I don't know how you'd have done. But you know, you got used to say about certain people, that man, she looks like a lovely wash. She looks like a lovely wash. You know, you put them on the line, you know, everybody saw them, I'm talking about her. Maybe 50 years ago, and way back in the early 10s, good wash.
Ah, but here's not only wash, but I wash white.
Not a wash, you know, it's very white. But not a wash, but it wasn't white.
Oh, come out, white. And they have washed the robes and wetting them in the blood of the Lamb.
You see, in a place. Passage we were reading about the Lamb, the Lamb. Now it's the blood of the Lamb. What does that mean? It's from the Lamb. Yes, for me. For I've washed from a lifetime and I've used prayer and I've used all sorts of wash powders and all that. What have you for people putting blood on the floor? One more thing, I don't know how it's going to get better. We made it already clear this night, we can repeat it. It's washed in virtue of your love. It's that is every ten soul owes his sanctuary through the blood of Christ. Quote the verse in case you don't know it. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Now, what we want to see is this. Here are souls that were conscious of their enemies. And there came a moment when they valued the death of Christ upon the cross. And in virtue of that death that he had died upon the tree, they knew his dying was for their sin, and by believing on him, they applied the blood of Christ to their own case. Yeah, I used to know this. Now, I admit I was dumb. Now, bear with me. You have to always teach the petty people that are dumb. And I was one of them. And the dumbness of my, in my case was this. I could see a steel system. No, it was too young not to see this. That I was a foolish man. That never gave me any photograph to you and you know that. I was here now. And I never see that food in the hell of my face. And I knew it well as I would have made that Christ had died for sinners. And for a reason of earth from another, we must have died for the variety of sinners. And would have come round to me and say, tell me so. And we say, no, I am not safe. I'm not safe. And you knew all that yet. You know that's a certain matter. No, 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 no.
We should see it. And yet you won't see it.
No. You see what was wrong with that? I knew all that, but I had never touched the one who shed his love for me. Never have been seen the purposes of you who asked to see it in the cross in myself. I'm just an unhappy woman. When it really dawned on me that he not only died for sinners, but that his dying was enough to enable God to pardon me. I could put my thoughts in him, I'd be mercy. And I could let him just make me there with my repetition. How long really is that? I believe on some, and I say, through the blood of the crucified one. Yes, dear soul, they not only knew about his death, they not only knew of the power of his cleansing blood, but they had lost the rope. Now, if we get out of the that's a woman, they look very worthy of attention. When you were reading about the of the chapter, what did it say? It's salvation from God. God, God. When you're reading these verses, you think it depended on men. Because the Savior washed the rope, and the Savior pointed them, and they used the blood of the Lamb to that end. Now, can you see the two sides of salvation? On the one hand, if ever you get saved, you'll say to God, be the Lord, that's all they do. On the other hand, if the day comes when you get saved, you'll be, like the rest of us, you'll be taking advantage of the provision that was made at the cross. And you'll be trusting the woman then, and in one sense, it still all depends on you. On the other sense, it can never have it all depends on God. Can you see the difference? Too simple in our passage here tonight. Now you notice this. Therefore are they before the throne of God. That would be the big answer, won't it? When the throne of the redeemed are gathered in the mercy's breath. And we stand before the throne of God. I don't think there are many who have heard of heaven that wouldn't want to be there. But I equally believe they'll want to be in heaven, but they wouldn't want to go there. Look, so if you're not washed and you're not cleansed, heaven would be an awful place for you to be dancing and never be there anymore. Until you are cleansed. But even you are not as you are, you couldn't stay. Couldn't tolerate the high holiness of God of the universe. You've got three in trouble. But there are four in trouble. There are four. I like the names of Coconut. There are no stranger God shall meet thee. Stranger lover will sit on. He who to rest shall greet thee. Greet thee with a welcome love. Tell me your soul is glory with you, God. I am a to you, my dear friend. I'm a good to you. I'm not watching how you finish up today. I don't know how you go home today. But I want to ask you in a fear of God, will you get the throne of God sit in it? Will you be speaking to the eternal glorious will of God? Are you sure all is well for eternity? Now, man, don't think it's because you're not making it all well. Or because you're sitting here with the Bible and you're going to do it all well. Are you sure that all is right between you and the throne of God? Now, put it another way. If that were leaving you just now, would you look in the Bible? Would you be able to? Think it over. And how sad it would be tonight. You notice that one of those beautiful passages that every Christian reads with joy, they'll hunger no more, nor they'll thirst no more, they never have sunstroke, the sun won't hit them anymore. But the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne shall shepherd them and lead them from fountain to fountain of living waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from the rest. Come on, my dear friend. I wonder if I'm in the beginning, even says to God, have been the same. I found myself that the shepherd who cared for us along the journey of pain is the one that's going to be our shepherd for our journey of pain. Hope for summer after we shepherd both of our daughter, when he honored the sin and glory after he had made himself. He made them from fountains to fountains. You see, the greatest problem you have left is the things that you wash in your head, don't you? Things that you used to think were great, you're not happier than that. I was with this one time and I took a great notion for these record plates, these discs, I don't know what to call them. Record plates. Every house had a record plate. You know, back maybe after 6 minutes or 7 years, my sister told me that. The bump and pattern, the Hollywood coming on. It was a clear story, but. And then the whole excitement seemed to die. Well, listen to it, man. I haven't time to keep you up. It's worth thinking about. Transparent and different. And you can bring it up.
And then you go to another one. And then everyone,
I'm fresh again. Oh, the eternal joy of the Savior. Oh, what can you do? And what a wonderful thing it would be to have not only a shepherd to lead us in pain, but a shepherd to lead us from fountains to fountains of living water. I think Brother Ford called us lost early to us. He said, oh Christ, he is that he's sweet well above the streams on earth, as he said, more deep I drink above. There through an ocean's fullness, his mercy goeth itself. And glory, glory, well, in a man will see that. We've been off a time, dear friend, when the rest of us are drinking on the fountains of living water in eternal glory. If you look out in hell first and for a drop to cool your tongue. We've been off a time, and even one! Yeah. We'll be thirsty forever. Instead of drinking of the fountain of living water, you show that his tears are good and plain. His way of salvation, he onward through what sinners couldn't do for himself. And because of his sin, the Savior, my sinful soul is counted for God the just satisfied. To live at heaven and call on you. You may be a pet. You'll go home with me. In danger of eternal wrath, when you could go home swiftly in joy, salvation through faith in Christ and by you in the love that He shed at the next year. May God grant the love to be your portion and we will indeed your joy with you. In service to Father, we thank you for another verse of wisdom. We who know them are anxious for this to be a bit of rest. And your God, give our hearts to us to see what wondrous grace has got us. We thank you for all who are saved in the sea, and for all who are received in the Middle East. For all we pray for the rejection of the living you connect. We would be narrow in our thinking at the moment. May God see the number of every son of us in this world tonight. Oh, that thou would make them afraid of the wrath of time. That thou would make them afraid to the saved. That thou would show them from thy own word by thy spirit the simple way of thy great salvation. Hear their humble cry and pray for a soul who pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.